longer were gathered there. A group of religious leaders began asking him tricky questions to try to embarrass him so that the people would not listen to his teaching. One of the men asked Jesus, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment? Which one do you think Jesus said was the most important?" "Love God," Jesus answered him. "The most important is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment." So my question to you is, how do you think we might show the love of God with all our hearts, soul, mind and strength? So how can we do that? Pray, yeah?
Showing others
we
care.
Showing others we care, yeah? Doing good to... What are we doing this morning?
Praying.
We're praying, but what else are we doing? We're here to...
Worship.
Worship God. Yeah. So those are some suggestions that we could show our love to God through worship, prayer, Bible study, what we do on a Thursday, singing, bringing our offerings and giving thanks for all our blessings. And do you know what Jesus said next? Love your neighbour. And he said, love your neighbour as yourself. So how can we love our neighbour? So we said something, showing kindness to others. What was you going to say when I said worship? What are you going to say something like? You can't remember. So how can we show...
Offering
to help. Respect ourselves so we can respect others. If we don't respect ourselves, we can't respect others. Give arms to the poor. And then flashing lights. Colin, can we have the lights off? Thank you. So those are some of the ideas of how we can help us, how we can love our neighbour. Treat them like we wanted to be treated, so with respect. So if we want to be treated, we've got to respect ourselves, to respect others. Be kind to them. Forgive them when they hurt our feelings. Be helpful in times of trouble and be their friend. These are the commandments that Jesus thought were the most important. It isn't easy to keep those commandments, is it? We need God to help each of us every day. So let's pray and ask him to help us to love as he has commanded us. Dear Father, help us to love you with all our heart and to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Decisions, it's often a case of different choices rather than right or wrong ones. There are many aspects of love to explore in the Book of Ruth. It begins in a place in which love is often most felt more viscerally and painfully, the place of grief. We then experience the complexity of love when big decisions have to be made. In different ways, Naomi, Orpah and Ruth are all presented as acting lovingly. Will and emotion are both powerfully present. And then we have the willingness of Ruth to enter into a different culture for the sake of Naomi. On one level, it's a simple story of love within a family, but it's also a particular expression of self-giving, sacrificial, Christ-like love. In the Book of Ruth, God's particular care for the most vulnerable is very apparent. For the hungry, strangers, orphans and widows. For those returning home or seeking safety in another land.
love is for all. There is no charity begins at home mentality, or Britain or other nations first. If there is any bias at all, it's to one in favour of the other. To paraphrase Jesus, those in need will always be with us. So today's text provides an opportunity to explore how we love those in need and remind ourselves that the Hesed love that is at the heart of the story of Ruth and the Agape love that washes through the pages of the New Testament are fundamentally about the choices we make in the interests of others. A lexicon is a list of all the words in a particular language or subject, together with their significance and usage. So what is, to quote the title of a 1982 album by the pop group ABC, the lexicon of love? How do we explain or describe the significance and meaning or meanings of love? From this week's Gospel reading, we might say the following. Love begins and ends with God and his love for creation, all of it, including but certainly not limited to humanity. Love is our focus towards God, yes, but also to all those with whom God loves. Love includes us because we are loved by God. Love changes everything according to a well-known Andrew Lloyd Webber song. But what sort of love? And love for what or whom? In Jesus' answer to the scribe's question, as in the Shema prayer that he quotes, love begins with God. It starts with God's love for creation. This is given its full expression in and through Jesus' death and resurrection. But because God loves us, we have to respond, and that response demands the whole person and all that they are and do. As in the words of the final verse of a well-known hymn, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. But what does that look like in practice? In the Jewish tradition, the Shema is an important foundational prayer taught to children and recited every day. In terms of practice, this is similar to the way in which Christians have taught and used the Lord's Prayer. So I want you to think back to seaside holidays and the traditional stick of rock. Wherever you cut the rock, it shows the name of the place you've been. And it's fascinating to watch it, how it's made. In the story we heard today, Jesus opens his heart and is full of love. So imagine, if you can, a stick of rock from Jesus. It might say, love God, love others. This is the heart of Jesus' work and mission. And whatever you, wherever you break into this story, it will say the same. Our task is to take some of this for ourselves. To love the taste so much that we can't stop doing it, loving God and loving others. Or think of it like breathing. How often during the day do we say something like, oh, I must remember to breathe? We don't. For most people, it just happens. We all breathe all the time. And though we can consciously hold our breath for a short while, it takes a lot to really distract us from doing it. Loving should be like that. Loving God, loving one another, should be as natural and uncomplicated and inevitable and unstoppable as breathing. We know what the consequences will be. We should treat the consequences of not loving or letting something or someone try to stop us from loving as being just as dire. And of course, sadly, there are moments when people do struggle for breath, as we know only too well after the COVID pandemic. And when that happens, we do all we can to help those people. If only we could be as proactive in helping people to love. But we can't we? We can be people who commit ourselves, always and everywhere, to loving God, ourselves and others. We can lead by example. That's why we're here, and that is what we are called to do. We are called to love our neighbours. But what does the word neighbour mean? It derives from the Old English, the near and inhabitant, peasant or farmer, from the Oxford English Dictionary. In contrast to our friends and acquaintances, we do not usually choose our neighbours. So who are our neighbours? The people who literally inhabit the dwellings near us. The respect agenda is a phrase we've heard many times following the London bombings of July 2005, with the emphasis that we need to recover the old values of respecting the people in our communities. The idea seems to be that we need to move beyond merely tolerating one another and towards respecting one another. In the interfaith world, there's been much criticism of both the idea of toleration and respect agenda. If we are to move forward towards living peacefully in a community with one another, we must move beyond toleration and respect to a genuine acceptance of each other and our different beliefs. This doesn't mean we cannot debate, challenge and disagree with one another. Those disagreements do not lead to a breakdown in community. Rather, they enable us to grow in understanding of and commitment to one another. This is the nature of the challenge Jesus places before the scribes. Jesus takes the command to love our neighbours from the Levitical commands against the exploitation of the poor and the weak. It is not merely enough to merely observe the letter of the law. You have to live its essence in relationship with one another. Jesus' commands to love God and your neighbour as yourself go hand in hand, as to loving God and loving yourself. Could loving God, loving yourself, and loving your neighbour be swapped around? Are they one of the same? The Hindu greeting of Namaste, where the palms of the hands are brought together before the heart and head is bowed, is probably best expressed as, I bow to the God in you. We can express it like this. The image of God in me bows to the image of God in you. There is recognition of the intimate relationship between ourselves and God, and a deep connection to our neighbour. Is it this connection that is meant by being close to the kingdom of God? How might it feel to return to somewhere as a changed person? Perhaps you can think of occasions when you've been away for a while and felt very different on your return. For example, after a first term at university, or going back to your parents' home after your marriage. When Naomi was forced to leave Bethlehem because of famine, she travelled with her husband and two sons. She had been a woman who seemed to have everything going for her. Now, on her return, what did Naomi's old friends see? How had she changed? She returned as a widower, a perilous state to be in the ancient Middle East. And worse, she had no living sons, leaving her in an even more vulnerable position. There was no one to whom she could turn for financial support. No wonder she renamed herself Myra, meaning bitter. There is, however, one positive in the story. Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth, another young widow whose dedication to her mother-in-law is both beautiful and commendable. In travelling to Bethlehem with Naomi, Ruth becomes a refugee, a stranger in a foreign land, and a widow. When she could have stayed in Moab, and sought a new husband of their own nationality. How will the old friends of Naomi accept Ruth? How will they both survive? Why did Ruth stay with Naomi? We'll never know the answer to the first question. And the second is answered later in the book of Ruth. And the third, we can only surmise. Ruth was loyal, and she demonstrated great faithfulness, as well as the true meaning of love. As the Bible scholar Paul Gooder explained, that love in the Bible is more about what you do than what you feel. Ruth lives her life as an expression of love for Naomi. And it is this real expression of love that Jesus calls us to, not just in our homes and families, or our friends and colleagues. Jesus' call to faithful love involves welcoming the stranger in our midst. It requires us to break down barriers and to put aside any fears and prejudices we may have lingering in our hearts. Love for our neighbour requires hard work, and there is no suggestion that it was easy for Ruth. Love requires us to try and step into the shoes of our neighbour and to see the world through their eyes. This is not something that comes easily or readily for many of us, and there are so many obstacles. But as Jesus reminded the scribe who came to ask him the most important of the questions, loving God is demonstrated in our love for our neighbour. When we love God with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, it follows that we will desire to not just love him, but to love like him, to love in the same way, with all that we are and all that we do. And that love is demonstrated in how we respond to the powerless, the poor, the unloved, and the unlovely. That's who Jesus came to redeem, and that's who he calls us to serve. Ruth's story is a story of the poor and the refugee. Ruth's story is a story of faithfulness. It is a story of overcoming hardship. But most of all, it is a story of love. The love that crosses barriers and boundaries, just like the love that Jesus calls us to give.